What is that thing? Now, I'd like you to turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles, to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. I've entitled the message, The Go of Christian Unconditional Identification. Nice long title, almost a dissertation. The Go of Christian Unconditional Identification. Sounds big. It is big. Folk, 2 weeks ago we were in prayer on a Friday evening, and God spoke to us. Now I'm going to Templeton paraphrase what was spoken to us, because I believe it's for many of us here today. So often we pray, Lord, here I am, send me. Lord, here I am, send me. But do we really understand what we are actually praying? And God was saying, it's all very well, it's great that we have this in our hearts, that passion, we want to go, we want to be available to God. But yet our actions are speaking differently. Our actions are not there. We're not motivating ourselves to do the go. As you read Mark chapter 10, you see that Jesus was talking to a young man, came to see him, and he asked him several questions, and he said, yes, Lord, I follow your commandments. I do everything that is right. And he said to him, fine, you lack one thing. Go and sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and come, take up your cross and follow me. And this young man walked away very sad, because he had great wealth, great possessions. Folk, unfortunately, many times in our lives, that's exactly where we are. We have this cliche, Father, here we are, send us. But yet we're not prepared to give up, identify ourselves with everything needs to be unconditional. We're not prepared to just give ourselves over and say, here I am, I surrender myself totally and nothing. In Isaiah chapter 6 from verse 1, we read this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each had 6 wings. 2 he covered his face, 2 he covered his feet, and 2 he flew. Another cried to, and one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts and the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hands a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. Let's just have a quick analysis of this. Isaiah was in the presence of God. He was worshiping just as we've done this morning. There was an awesome presence as we worship in the presence of God. It's almost as if we're coming into the very throne room of God. And Isaiah was there and he looks up and he sees a vision of God. And he suddenly realizes just who he is. What state he is in. He's a man of unclean lips. In other words, he's a sinner. He's a sinful man. And he begins to confess this. An angel comes up to him with a coal from the altar. A live coal. Now, how is Brian the stateless guy? There were live coals there. And brothers and sisters, I can tell you what, at one stage, I had to say, shoo, it was so hot, it was burning my hand. Now you can imagine that live coal, and tradition has it that Isaiah actually had burn marks on his lips for the rest of his life because of the live coal that touched him when the angel said, your iniquity has been purged. You have been cleansed. You've been made new in the sight of God. How often don't we cry out, Lord, cleanse us. Purge us. Create in us a clean heart, O Lord. But as this touches his lips, he hears the voice of God saying, who will I send? Who will go for us? Having this awesome experience, Isaiah turns around and he says, here am I. Send me. And folks, that's what I want us to concentrate on today. I don't want us to go into the whole thing of salvation. Yes, we know it's part of salvation, the purging. But I want us to go into something that I believe is for each and every one of us. The vision of this church, the motivation is to grow this church to be a community, church of community influence. But until we are truly doing the go, we are not fulfilling, here am I, send me. Going back to the rich young ruler, when he saw Jesus, he wanted to be like him. Our Lord never places anyone's holiness above anything else when he calls his disciples. Jesus' primary consideration is my absolute annihilation of my right to self. In other words, I need to go and annihilate all my rights. I have no rights. When I surrender to God, that's what it is. I have no rights. I'm here to do the beckoning and the will of God. Each and every one of us are here. You see, it's not just the pastor. It's not just the deacons. It's not just the eldership. It's not just the executive team. I believe this call is for each and every one of us sitting here today. Yes, we've got a fantastic church. Pastor Keith says he's done an exercise. Being an accountant, he's always been exercising. Okay? And not on a bicycle either. That's just in addition to the other exercise. He's actually seen, and more than 10% of the church is actually doing work. Which is an awesome fact. But folk, we're not doing the here am I, send me. Jesus' primary consideration, as I said, is our absolute annihilation of our rights and my identification with Him. If we want to identify ourselves with Christ, we need to put our rights, our desires, our wants aside. The world is saying, no, I want. And we need to say, sorry, I'm a Christian. God, what do you want? Very few of us truly know what is meant by the absolute goal of Christianity. Unconditional identification and abandonment and surrender to Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he was able to hear the Lord. And what he saw was teamwork with God is a glorious call for His purpose. That's what it is about. This glorious call. Here God was saying, who shall we send? And His answering says, here am I. To their glorious call, the teamwork with God. To team up, to become a partner with God. Although God is His sovereign and power can easily save humankind, He chooses to do it with you and I. He wants you and I to be His partner, to help Him. He can talk and everyone in the world can be saved. But He wants you and I to be there, to partner with Him. This is the reason why I said that Christians are greater. Because they have a higher calling. Not just as the politicians, they suddenly in government and they think that's the be all and end all. I tell you what, we have a glorious calling, each and every one of us, to fulfill the will and the purpose that God has placed in our lives. That absolute go and do His will. It's not only the glorious calling. It comes from God, who has eternal value for the souls of humankind. Not only a glorious calling for God's purpose, but it was also, Isaiah begins to realize that teamwork with God is a great challenge for His people. It's an unreal challenge, and if you say sitting there today saying, I am not challenged by this, folk, let's not fool ourselves. There's a challenge in it. Isaiah answered the Lord's call by one of the most famous phrases, and we've said it. Here am I, send me. It's a great challenge. God is calling His people to be involved in the evangelism of the unbeliever, especially the unreached people groups that we find in our country. And if you think that you can go out and you can do cold canvassing, great stuff. That might be your calling. But if you ask me to do it, I back off. I'm not the type of person who just goes up and suddenly makes friends. But you know, with God's help, in God I can do all things. And folks, this is what we need to realize. When we are doing this for God, it's no longer me. It's all about God. It's His strength, His power that empowers me to get up and to do the go. You see, folk, the harvest is white, but the harvesters are few. However, it's sad to say that this phrase has now been changed. Instead of many saying, here are my Lord, send me, they say, here am I. Send our pastor, send our leaders, send the others, but lead me out of it. See, we consider this as missions. Mission work is not confined to missionaries who go out into the mission field for God. Mission work is work for the whole church. All of us have a mission in life. All of us have some ability that God can use to bring people into this place. If I had to ask you, each and every one of you right now, to move forward, if I said, I'm not asking you now, and we move forward, this whole lot, we move forward, we won't even fill this first block of it. If everybody moves forward, we might fall half. Yeah. What about the other chairs? They're there for people that each and every one of us need to reach out to. And folk, I believe it's time for us to be available. See, obedience means availability as well. It involves not only missionaries going, stewards to give, intercessors to pray, but also the involvement of each and every individual of the church. We can't sit on the sideline expecting it just to come. The day is coming and it's imminent. Our Lord Jesus Christ is about to return. Is he coming for a pure church, or is he coming for people who sit on the sideline and say, Pastor, now look, I've got three pointing back at me. Pastor, you get out and go do it. But I want to tell you what, the shepherd don't make the sheep. Don't make the lambs. It might be a cop-out, not the truth. Each one of us have a responsibility to reach the lost and the dying. James Hudson Taylor, in challenging the church during a time when he was involved in Chinese mission work, he told a story about Peter, his Chinese aide, converted to discipleship. In discipleship. On one of his sea journeys, Peter, who was unable to swim, fell next to the boat, out of the boat and fell next to it. Fortunately, there were some fishermen there just in reach. They could have reached out, grabbed him, and pulled him out of the water. And Taylor shouted at the fishermen and asked them to help his friend. Help my friend, he cried. He's drowning. However, the fishermen didn't bother to do his call for help because they were busy pulling in their nets with fish. And they were busy loading all this fish into the boat. When they completed it, they reached out and they grabbed this man, Peter, his name, and they tried to do resuscitation on him. But he was already dead. He had drowned from lack of help. Taylor said to the church, he asked them what they thought about the Chinese fishermen. A lot of them responded saying they're bad, they're evil, unconcerned about the salvation of a dying man. You know how Taylor responded? He said, I see it differently. I think the Chinese are like most Christians today. They're unconcerned about the plight of the sinner. He's just an arm's length away. The reason is that they're so busy with their own work. Then a call, go out. Let's have a work day. Let's paint this place. Let's clean this place up. If we're so busy with our own little tasks, we can't afford just an hour, 2 hours for God. You see where I'm going, folk? It's a practical example that I'm trying to paint here for us to understand. Here am I, send me. But the absoluteness of go doesn't exist in the Christian vocabulary. It's not there. Like my prayer is that may God find us busy not only doing our responsibilities, but especially in bringing the good news of salvation to the lost and the unreached of this world. The unsaved. God wants us to be involved in missions. Our mission effort is not enough. We need God as our partner. Folk, it's not us about taking our wallet out and saying, here's money for missions. What are you and I doing to reach those in this community? What are you and I doing in our workplace to let people know about the Lord Jesus Christ? That's not that is the mission field, but it's not the job of the missionary, is it? In fact, missions is the main work of God in this world. What does the Great Commission say? Go, therefore, and make disciples. The make is the verb. But if we don't go, we will never make disciples. We need to be as Isaiah. He saw the world as God does. A harvest ready for reaping. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell. Go and tell. See, folk, we can have the knowledge of God, which is essential. And maybe it helps us have good relationships. But notice Isaiah. He got in with God. He heard God's heartbeat for the lost and dying people. And folk, that's what I want us to hear today. We need to take this heartbeat of God. We need to be as Isaiah, who heard God's heartbeat. And we need to be as Isaiah, who said, this is it. This is what I've got to do. No longer what I want, but Father, what you want. Help me to do the go. He heard God's summons for a messenger to reach out for him. And immediately Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Isaiah didn't say, where do you want me to go? What's in it for me? What type of salary am I going to earn? What about my retirement benefit? He didn't say that. In fact, I believe that Isaiah would have signed a blank check and said, there, here's my life, Father God. Are we prepared to sign that blank check today for God? He didn't try and strike a bargain with God. He didn't try and attempt to negotiate or compromise. You see, Isaiah heard God's call. And Isaiah answered. God commanded, and Isaiah obeyed. Such an unconditional response comes only from a heart of one who has seen the vision, the one who met with God. You know what, folk? I don't believe that I'm preaching to unsaved people here today. Or sharing rather than preaching, and I hope you see it. I'm not sharing with unsaved people here. I'm sharing with people who know the truth, who have had an experience with God the Father. And I'm sure each and every one of us have heard God's call today. You see, we need to notice something about Isaiah. His heart is responsive. How responsive is our heart when we hear God's call? His words are, here am I, send me. When the triune God asks a question, whom shall I send and who will go for us? The answer already is settled in the prophet's heart. Is it settled in your heart when you hear God say that? Here am I, send me. When people do not respond as readily as this, it is a painful evidence that they've never seen or sensed God in all the glory of His person, power, and purpose. And folk, if that's where you are today, I believe we need to pray for you that you will begin to soften your heart so that you might hear the heartbeat of God and know exactly what He wants you to do. Are you holding back from the voice of God's divine calling? Remember this. The Savior weeps every moment in His soul over a lost world. Tens of thousands die every day. And even more are born every 24 hours to face a world that's becoming increasingly godless, Christless, and hopeless. Have we no heart? Have we no sense of this mission, that it's a call from God to you and I? The second thing that we need to notice about Isaiah is that his heart was redemptive. Go tell. The prophet Isaiah was a commission to go and preach the message of judgment. A most unpopular task. Who of us want to hear judgment? Folks, I'm not judging you, because I've been through this whole thing. Before I prepared this sermon, I sat in my chair night after night just looking at this whole thing, knowing that God has called me. And asking myself that question, where's your heart, David? Are you doing what God has called you to do? I'm not judging anybody here today. I'm just bringing a word that I believe that God wants us to hear. We've got to be obedient to the go. There's no greater honor could ever be conferred on any Christian. No commission could emphasize with great authority. Are we prepared to go and tell? Are we prepared to underwrite a ministry that will go and tell? This is God's priority program until Jesus returns. Jesus Christ is our King. He came once and died on the cross for our redemption. Very soon He's coming back to reign and to judge. Are we prepared to die to self, ease and indifference in order to go and tell the sinful world about Jesus and His saving grace? Only such a person has a burden and a passion to win souls at any cost. Only such a person has the true mark of a Christian. Is this going to be our song? Mine are the hands to do the work. Feet shall run to Thee. My lips shall sing the glorious news, Lord, here am I, send me. Or is our song, I want to talk about me. I want to talk about me. I want to talk about I want to talk about number one, oh my, me, my. What I think, what I like, what I know, what I see, what I want. I want to talk about me. There are two songs. Which one is it that we're singing right now? I often thought it could be a Christian song. But from God's perspective, we spend an awful lot of time talking about ourselves in our lifetime and making our own prayer requests. But I wonder if God ever thinks of Himself like that song suggests. Why don't we talk about our Lord Jesus Christ? After all, that's the first things the shepherds did after they left the manger. Go tell it on the mountains, over the hill and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is born. And folk, I believe that needs to be our song. Jesus is our Savior. He was born many years ago. He died on the cross for you and I. But yet He's still alive today, that we might be able to stand set free. That's what those who were there with Jesus saw at His ascension. That's what they heard when the Great Commission was given. What did they do? They went out and told that message. As I conclude today, we can make a difference, but all. And if not, why not? There's no room for excuse. We can't make people come to Jesus. But at least we can tell them about Him. And let them decide for themselves. We can't make them decide. I just can't do that. What will people think? Who cares what people think? Who cares what people think? I care what God thinks right now. That's what matters. Maybe you haven't shared the gospel all that much, but that doesn't mean you can't start today, because it's not too late. Now is the time to begin. Why? Because Philippians 4:13 says from the New King James, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You're not doing it on your own. We need to tell everyone what we know, about who we know, so that they can come to know what we know and who we know. Maybe that's a tongue-tying statement. But folk, that's what has to happen. Matthew 10:32-33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before man, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before man, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Ouch. That's putting me on that fire of yesterday. How much are we telling God? Telling people about God. We need to get beyond ourselves. Because as much as we try to make it about ourselves, it's not about us. And folks, this is what we need to understand. This is not about you and I. It's about God. It's always been about God. And it always will be about God. Jesus, the name above all names. And folks, I want to say this to you today. He is the name above all names. And it is always about Him. Because He chose us. We have been chosen by God. We are His partners. To be forgiven. To have the gift of His salvation. To be free from guilt and condemnation. To have His grace and favor in and over our lives. To walk in health and prosperity. And to re-gift the gift of life we have been given. We've been told from time to time, through one prophetic word after another, straight from the Lord Himself, how He's going to bring about great things in His church. How much haven't we been told here? We're strategically placed to do the absolute God. Church, now is not the time to grow weary, to fall asleep in church when this has been preached, but to realize the importance of this. We're about to reap a bountiful harvest of souls for the kingdom of God if we faint not. Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. Are we going to be part of that? We need to be found faithful now more than ever before, because the blessings God has promised are closer now than we can even imagine. Let us be found faithful, doing our part, and continue to trust God for what He's about to do in our midst. Folk, I believe that's a challenge for each and every one of us. Each one of us sitting here today has a message for the world. Each one of us can tell somebody just three things. Jesus died for you because He loves you and He wants you to be His child. Three little things. Who is going to fight you on that? Let's love Him. Let's do what He does. Let's go and do what He stated. Jeremiah saying, let's now do the practical thing in God. Father, we love You. We appreciate You. Gracious Father, I pray today that we will take this challenge up, that we will fulfill that Jeremiah sent me. That we will go and tell. Gracious Father, I pray Your blessing upon each one. I pray, Father, that as Your Holy Spirit fills them, that they will be given the boldness to let people know about You, Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to place a challenge before you. We watched that video, Faith Like Potatoes, last Sunday evening. And Angus Buckham was given this challenge when he accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That Methodist minister spoke wise words. Before we leave this place, when you leave this place today, I want you to, the first three people you go and tell, you see, you come across, first three friends, or three people, I want you to tell them about Jesus. Amen? It's a challenge for us. That's part of the go and tell.